All right, everybody. Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. All right. So the other night, we were on our podcast and we covered the death of yet another high-level veteran who had a decent amount of fame, and he died by his own hands, suicide. And unfortunately, this is a very, very common occurrence, and it almost got me. All right, so when I say things about this particular subject, you need to realize that I've already fought all these battles. Okay, I still suffer from, you know, some pretty significant PTSD effects. I have learned how to, you know, deal with the triggers, and I have, you know, I am just telling you right now, okay, if your buffer has exceeded the evil that you're, you know, you can see, and it affects you with PTSD, it's very rare that it goes away. Okay, now you can go to counselors, you can talk to whoever, you could spend 20 goddamn years. More than likely, it's with you for the long haul, because your brain is basically reprogrammed itself, and it is exceptionally hard to reverse, if not impossible. All depends upon the degree of bullshit that drove you over the edge. Just because these people have PTSD does not mean they are mentally ill. Quite literally, the way you think and the way you process information changes from home to the war zone. And I'll explain it.
Are you the kind of person who's run out of feelings to hurt?
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
What, wah?
Then we have the Redonkulous swag for you. And we have multiple locations where you can get it. Go to the Stream Elements store or Crypto Fashion and embrace your inner fat punisher. Because after all,
there's a little bad pop in all of us. Even your mother.
Shirts, stickers, mugs, and hats are on sale now. Your support helps keep us independent from big tech and keeps this life-saving train on the tracks. Links are in the Meat Gazer box.
All right, so you have home and you have war. For instance, in 2004, a whole assload of National Guard and Army Reserve soldiers were mobilized to deploy to Afghanistan and Iraq, because the size of our volunteer force is not big enough for large, sustained war activities. That's the nature of the beast. And roughly on the ground in Iraq, 52% of everyone you saw in uniform was Army Reserve or National Guard. And those high percentages stayed that high almost for the majority of the conflict. In the very beginning, they weren't there. In the very end, they were cut down. But the 15 years in between when it began and when it ended, huge amounts of Army Reserve and National Guard soldiers were mobilized and sent to a war zone. Now, I covered this, the PTSD effect. I did a whole video on it years ago. We're going to link it below, and it talks about PTSD. And I do a representation of how your mind actually changes between being at home and going to war. All right, when you are home, your life is basically an upside-down funnel. You cover thousands of regulations, laws, and customs every single day, and it's really nothing to you. Maybe every once in a while you turn on the TV to watch your favorite show to get a little bit of excitement, but for the most part, living here in the West is a monotonous, boring life.
Boring!
It's the same thing day after day after day. And after you've done that long enough, it just becomes old hat to you, because our minds are great at adapting, especially when you're on the younger side. Okay, so when you go to the war zone, you're literally...
What the hell did you just say?
Your head's on a swivel. You're a walking squirrel. You need to be on your game and pay attention 24/7, 365. So in your head, that mind turns upside down. So all of that stimulus doesn't get washed off, doesn't have to go through a tiny little hole. It literally goes through the funnel, and before you know it, it is dumping an incredible amount of information into your thinking meat. And most people, it becomes overwhelming after a while. It literally, in my opinion, screws up how you think. And when I say screws up how you think, what I mean is this. When you're home, you have to think a certain way. When in the war zone, you have to think another way. And it even gets worse the higher up you are in the chain of command, because you have to worry about more people. And that takes a toll on you. You come back from war, that funnel in your head doesn't go back to normal. It's always going to stay upside down, meaning you're always going to be hyper aware. You're probably going to come home, and a lot of the stuff that you used to enjoy, you're not going to enjoy again. It impacts your concentration. It literally foobars your life, especially if you have the mindset thinking you're going to go home and it's going to be exactly how it was before you left. That never, ever happens, especially if you go to a real war zone. You get caught what I call the limbo effect. While you're home, all you really want to do is go back to war. And while you're at war, all you want to do is go back home.
I want to go home. I want to go home.
It's literally, your mind is stuck somewhere in the middle here. And it's never going to go back to, you know, being home. Now, when you're home, you know, your life is pretty stable. Like I've just explained, it's very monotonous. It is very boring. All right. And you understand how this world works because you grew up in it. You're loved by friends and family. What, you know, at least you think you are, but that's another video. Life is predictable. You know, you're getting paid on Friday. You eat three times a day. You get lunch between noon and 1:30. Your life, literally, for the most part, when you're in the civilian world, 95% of everything you do is predictable and monotonous. And then, you know, you find out you've been lied to.
Oh, you lied to me. You lied to me.
About how the entire world works. Once you go over to war and you see how the world really works, a lot of guys come back and they're a little pissed off because all the shit that they've been programmed and told about that happens overseas while they were here in America, it's not the same. It's literally a red pill event. You come back, you're like, holy shit, they lied to me about everything. And you have like this low-grade frustration and anger. Listen, I still have it today. Totally got it. Now, when you go over to the war zone, all right, you have to worry about being wounded and or killed. And if you're in charge of people, not only do you worry about that for yourself, but you worry about it for every single one of the men underneath your command or control. If you're a total sociopath or psychopath, that might not happen. But I can tell you, psychopath and sociopath officers are shitty leaders. All right, you might have to kill some people. That was very tough for a lot of guys. Especially the first couple times. The rules of engagement in a war zone are not the rules of engagement stateside. Most of the time, when shit's going to go down, it happens fast. It's absolutely brutal. There's really virtually no time to think. And that's why I always train my soldiers to react first and think later. Because if you have to think about the situation, once it begins, it took too long and you're caught hesitating. And I talk about this phenomena in my book, The Warrior's Way and Soldier's Soul. Hesitation is the anchor that draws you to your death every single time. All right, you are probably going to have to see suffering. I still have nightmares about this, about the families, wives, mothers of, you know, individuals who got whacked, just howling and screaming in just painful wails that even to this day, if I'm watching a show and somebody's like freaking out over somebody who got killed or died, I have to turn the volume down because I can't listen to it because it will cause an uber anxiety event in my thinking meat. All right, you're going to have to suffer yourself. I know lots of guys who went to Iraq and ate MREs for about 6 to 8 months while they were there. You know, never had enough toiletries, were always sick, always had some crazy shit going on. Your body's not adapted to that environment. So the first 6 months, you're getting attacked by pathogens and any toxins or any natural horseshit in the environment. After about 6 months, your body will adapt to a certain degree. But there is a lot of times medical intervention is needed. And it's a whole boatload of suffering. And you get used to suffering.
Embrace the suck.
I can't tell you how many times I would take my boot off and I would see, like, silver dollar size triple canopy blisters that had to drain and blood was coming out. You just get used to it.
That's nasty.
You get used to being hot. You get used to your uniforms being starched in the morning by the amount of salt you sweated out the day before. You get used to being in full battle rattle in a Humvee with the windows up at 130 degrees outside, and it's about 150 on the inside, no air conditioning. You just get used to drinking more water. You adapt to the suffering. And that is part of the flipping over of the funnel in your mind. This helps with that a lot. All right. Then you have the unpredictability. Like I said before, here in the States, you follow thousands of laws, regulations, and customs every single day. You go from here to a war zone. It is kill or be killed, and rules of engagement, and any orders from your command. Other than that, all of that shit is out the window. You know, all of that morality, all of that nice guy horse shit, all of the laws and stuff that you used to get by here in the States, you need to forget all of that if you want to survive a deployment to a war zone. And again, it's next to impossible to switch your mind back. So once you adapt to the unpredictableness, the monotony becomes painful. Because you're not deprogramming yourself. And I think that has a lot to do with how they feel. When you're here, you want to go to war. And when you're at war, you want to come home. And this is just my opinion. You adapt to the chaos. At Abu Ghraib prison, we were mortared on average between 3 and 5 times a day. Some of those attacks were way longer. Some were with the 4-inch mortars and, cartouche rockets that blew down sections of walls, blew up tents. You know, we had a 4-inch mortar attack that killed roughly, I would say, about 130, 140 low-level prisoner detainees and wounded 2 to 3 times as many. I was involved in the cleanup, after I was basically the NCOIC of the second wave. First wave, threw on bandages, moved guys to the cache, took them to helicopters, what have you. The second wave, I was picking up body parts, whole bodies, raking up blood. It was horrific. And even to this day, I can't walk into a butcher shop where you can smell the meat. That causes more anxiety for me as well. I have to actually put Vicks Vapor Rub in my nose, and I know that I have maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then I have to be out of there. That's the only way I can deal with that. You may or may not lose friends while you're there. And most of the time, if one of your friends gets whacked, you are coming back to the stateside with an additional problem above and beyond PTSD. You're coming back with guilt. And this is exceptionally hard to remedy. Guilt kills so many of our veterans, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, because that which weighs an ounce today, tomorrow will weigh a ton. And a lot of these guys just run out of steam, run out of will. You can call it whatever you want, and they just punch out. They're done carrying the guilt. When you're in the combat zone, you never really feel safe. And like I said before, you never really unprogram from that. So when you come home, you're going to be home and you're never going to feel safe. And that's a given. Same with me. I literally, I always walk around with, that little voice on my shoulder talking into my ear. You need to watch this. Make sure the doors are locked. Clear your sector. And it never goes away. The final one here, you have to do mind tricks to get by in a war zone. My mind trick was every time I was going to roll out a sector, we were getting IED'd and attacked all the time. And the anxiety of having to deal with that, you know, like you find out you're going out in sector the day, you know, tomorrow. The day before, you're amped up, you are on edge, you can't sleep. It literally is crushing. So you have to play a game in your head.
I want to play a game.
You have to realize that you are already dead. And everything that's going to happen the next day, it's already done. Don't have to worry about because you're already a dead man. Well, was that effective? Yes, it was. When I came back to the stateside, I have not been able to turn that off since I got back in the beginning of 2005. So we're talking, you know, 18 years. You know, all of the good shit I did before I went to the war zone, I literally cannot do today. Like, for instance, I was a huge D&D guy. I was a huge video game guy. The only D&D I've really participated in is I run a game for my, you know, my brother's kids. And all of the video games I used to play, it's not for me anymore. The only one I could manage is War Thunder, and I play it like twice a week for maybe 6 hours. Other than that, can't do it. So you have a bunch of people stuck in the limbo effect here in their head, right? And when you come back from the war zone, more than likely you're going to have PTSD. I mean, I did 3 wars. I was almost killed in 2. You can only see so much before the buffer gets full. Once the buffer fills up, you're going to come back with this. It's a given. All right? It is what it is. You just have to accept it. And then you have to look for the triggers and figure out how you're going to live around it. Because more than likely, it's never going away. Especially if you saw really horrid shit. Or you were exposed to a lot of crap for a long period of time. You adapted to the war zone. Literally, how you process information in your head has completely changed. And it causes frustration because you think you're going to go back home and it'll be exactly how it was before you left.
I think it's hunky-dory.
It's not. Okay? It's not the case. Next, we have injuries. Mental and physical injuries. Like mental, we can go back to PTSD, but some people come back from the war zone with legitimate mental problems. There's a certain percentage of people out there that just can't handle it. And literally, you send them over there and they're going to break. Especially if they have to deal with toxic leadership or incompetence. It literally ramps up the anxiety of the war zone 2 to 3 times in severity. And when you're getting mortared 3 to 5 times a day, that's pretty bad. You throw toxic leadership on top of that, man, and people break right and left. I've seen it. It almost happened to me. You have the guilt because maybe you had a friend get whacked or severely wounded and injured. And you always think, maybe if I was there, I could have done something. I could have stepped in the way. I could have done everything I could have to save that person's life. And my mental defense and my answer to people who have this problem is you go into the bathroom, you look in the mirror. Is there an S on your chest? No, there isn't. You are not fucking Superman. You are a normal fucking human being. There was nothing you could do. And that's just the way the chips fell. You have to accept that, or that guilt will literally be the anchor that pulls you to your death. Next, we have depression. There's all kinds of depression problems, and I did a whole video called The Lens of Depression, how little things get blown up in your mind astronomically when you look at them through the lens of depression. And most guys who come back from a war zone are going to suffer from depression because they can't go back to how it was and they don't understand why. It causes all kinds of frustration. All right, so now we have frustration. We have guilt. We have a different brain housing group. You have the frustration of not being able to go back to your contented, boring, predictable life. That is gone forever. After depression, we have divorce. Now, in my personal experience, divorce and contact with the family court is the leading indicator that someone is going to snuff their life off. All right. They are going to scrub out their cranium with a magnum. You can call it whatever you want. You'll surrender their meat suit, zero themselves out. That's the way it works. Divorce. And one of the main reasons divorce, as I did a whole talk about this in Vegas about a year and a half, 2 years ago, how the divorce court and the judges and family court literally fill the shoes of the bully that destroys your love and hope. Think about it. You go to a war zone. You come back from a war zone. He's not the same person. I'm not happy. You lose half your income. You watch the courts that you thought were going to be fair to you fuck you in the ass. You lose your children. And then you have to suffer mentally every 2 weeks that you get to see your kids, because that is the basic bullshit. Every time you watch them go leave your car and go into the house, your mind processes that trauma like a death. So for every single year after you get divorced, you are processing basically 104 funerals. That leads to depression. When you live in the pain mind, when you're always thinking about that, depression is literally a natural onslaught that happens because of that. You never feel like you're at home again, period. All right. Now, I have this problem as well. And this is a personal side note here. Okay. To me, you know, home is where the heart is. My heart was with my children, and they were taken from me. Therefore, I have no home. I just have a place, the lair, where I store my shit till the next operation. That is it. And let me tell you, the mental gymnastics that I had to put myself through just to be able to tell you that with a straight face, monumentally difficult. All right? So they have all these problems. All right? They try to go home. There's a loss of hope and love because they're going to get divorced. And anything that destroys hope and love is evil and needs to be destroyed. And I don't care what excuse you give it. It is evil.
Evil! Evil!
Basically, you want to be the same that you were before you went. But it's never going to happen. So there's a low level of frustration there to begin with. Loss of confidence in your government and country. Because I believed the whole Constitution and Bill of Rights horse shit. When I deployed, I saw firsthand how corrupt and one-sided it is when I got divorced. And it literally caused me to lose faith in my government and country. I love my country. I am terrified of my government, and I certainly don't love them with what they're doing as of late. The big one here is your loss of identity and your loss of purpose. You go to war, you identify as a soldier. You have an identity, you have a purpose. Say you get wounded, you come back. You're not going to recover from those wounds. You're no longer in the military. And more than likely, you're going to get divorced. So then you lose your purpose. That's a tough one. All right? You identify as the warrior soldier, all of a sudden you can't do it. And then, you identify as the loving husband and father, and that's gone as well. Now, you put all that on top of PTSD, frustration, the inability to change your mind back. It literally is a recipe for disaster. All right. Now, these variables will affect everyone in their own way, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. What is here is basically a roadmap of what happens to you when you go to war and you come back. All right. If you're a fortunate individual and you went to war and you were like a Ramph and, you know, you threw boxes and trucks or you packed parachutes or loaded weapons, whatever, but you didn't really go out to the front line, you could still be affected by a lot of this, but it's usually not as extreme. All right. It is what it is. Now, I'm trying to come up with a solution for all of this, and the solution, in my opinion, is simply this. The military has JAG. All right, JAG technically is not supposed to represent you in a civilian court. All right, now just imagine how the military would change if the JAG represented their investment in the soldiers, because they spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, training a guy to do a job. Then it gets divorced. More likely than not, that dude is going to leave the service because he's going to get fucked in court and he's going to lose his kids. So now what does our country and military have to do? They have to find a replacement. They have to train the replacement. That replacement needs time to get experience. That's a lot of money and time right there. Our own military and our own government could stop a lot of this suicide horseshit if they would simply fund their JAG to support their investments in divorce court and in the real world. I have seen dozens of soldiers get hit with false accusations. Their career is over. They weren't even convicted of nothing. Gone. So what we have here is basically PTSD, the loss of hope and love, loss of your identity and purpose, that coupled with depression is a recipe for disaster. All right. Now, what I do to help people when I hear about all the horse shit that's going on, I came up with administrative violence to give the people who are getting screwed in divorce the tools to fight back against the bureaucracy that wants to do nothing but kill them. Literally. That is what they're hoping for. All right. Oh, I'm wrong. Okay. Men have been blowing their heads off at record pace for the past 60 goddamn years. No one is talking about it. Nobody is taking steps to try to fix it because the steps to fix it require changing our society and culture at the very basic levels, i.e., keeping the family intact. They don't want to go back on that.
But that seems like a lot of work.
Anyway, this is the basics of the combat feedback loop. So if it's happening to you, find where you are on this whole flowchart of insanity and try to take some steps to bring you back to the real world. And if you buy my book, The Warrior's Way and Soldier's Soul, it's only on Kindle right now, digital. Sorry, I'm going to work on a physical copy. Give it a good review, especially if it helped you.